He's whiny.
Yeah, like he sounds like such a bitch. Dude, I am like, I'm the safest leverage trader in the entire cryptocurrency industry.
I am not. I'm a degenerate. I'm going to fucking, once I have conviction on the direction and like I get like fucking all in.
I have not been everything. Higher than 1.7 times leverage on my derivatives account.
Bro, I've never been below 3x in my life. I can't do it. I've never been below 3. And 3 seems to me, when I'm trading 3x, I feel like I'm in grandpa mode, right? I'm like, okay, I'm doing something. This is like a 3x trade. I'll sleep on that one. Whatever. Who cares? And then if I'm doing like, because I grew up in the cross leverage era of just like, it's all 100x. Your entire account balance is on the line. Fucking, it either goes up or it doesn't. And so, I
was wondering, actually, how do you mentally denominate your derivatives positions? Because like, I realize that most people do like cross collateral, or they do like position margin, and I do like collateral margin. So if I have like $100,000 in a derivatives account, I think of it like that's my total amount of money, right? So if I purchase $20,000 of a coin, I am at 0.2x leverage, right? Whereas like other people have this weird thing where it's like I'm at 20x leverage, but they only put like $500 into the position.
Well, it depends. So like if you're in isolated leverage, right, then yeah, having a 20x leverage on a smaller amount of your overall bag makes sense. Or even cross leverage, right, because then it's based on position sizes, and then like your entire account is your collateral, right? So like there are different ways to think about it. I always found cross leverage made more sense to me, because then it's just like my position size is relative to my overall account balance, and then the leverage actually gets weaker the more you win, right? So like if I put 100x trade, you know, with 1% of my thing, right? So then it's like, okay, it actually gets easier to trade over time on cross leverage.
And
which like
what I've been doing basically is like I'm all in Ethereum and Bitcoin, and I have a like Solana bag, and I've just been using that shit as collateral. So like I'm either lending that stuff out to get collateral, and like basically what I did with all of my Ethereum was just got loans for it.
Yeah,
and
got
loans for Bit, which actually I just realized, holy fuck. Those are probably doing pretty good. I'd forgotten about that.
If you're loaning, no, because loaning is shorting. Borrowing.
No. Like I'm not doing this on an like I did this with like an over the counter.
No, so I know, but like for example, like I'm pretty sure shorting is loaning or borrowing. I always get this mixed up unless I'm actually like sitting there thinking of the whatever. But like,
I don't know how any of this shit works. All I know is that I am doubly exposed to basically my entire major's net worth. And unless Ethereum literally goes to $400, I will not be liquidated.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Someone will correct me in the comments. But like the way that like we used to do it in like the company I used to work for, I used to help them with their like position trading. And we used to run like fucking weird like... we should do these like, I guess almost mutual fund type things with crypto, where we were just like, I'm going to borrow from here. I'm going to take this. I'm going to do da da da. And then now there's almost zero risk, but then there's like 20% leverage. Like it's like bullshit like that. It's like when there's no shorting on chain, you would like do loans and shit. But anyway, it doesn't really matter.
Ultimately zero risk. Yeah.
You know what the funny part? The risk was, as we said in every single meeting, the only thing that's really at risk here is if Luna crashes.
Right. I was about to say the actual risk, and that's the same thing that all the Ethereum guys are doing right now, right? It's like they're locking their Ethereum in like a liquid staking derivative center.
I don't know about liquid
staking. They're basically staking their shit, and then they're going and they're taking their staked tokens and they're restaking that, and then they're re-restaking, and they just do it. And it's like,
that's a highly leveraged position, is what that is.
it's not even like leveraged. It's just like, in order to gain an additional 1.4% APR on your Ethereum returns, you've exposed yourself to the smart contract risk of like seven different companies.
Yeah.
And it's like, we saw what happened this last like 3 year period. Like, I don't personally think that risking my entire net worth is worth 1.4% gains. And like, yeah, people don't really understand that like the shit can get hacked, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But like, it can get hacked.
Especially the more convoluted the smart contract, the more.
Yes.
And also the more money that's locked up, the bigger the incentive for the hackers to be there.
People are going towards the yield farms with the best yields. And so they're attracting like these protocols are always going to have over like 100 million locked, bro.
Oh yeah.
So like 100 million, that's a lot of cheddar, man.
And all
like,
you need to do is find one
target.
All you need is one precision error. And then you're like, oh, well, whoops. I guess I just fucking made, you know, 600K and all of you guys lost all everything. So yes, like it just takes one error.
Yeah, that's a really, I think that's sort of an under-mapped threat for this next cycle, is the fact that we're like compounding infinite smart contract risk. And it's like, honestly, it's like, it's hitting the people who are usually very safe about stuff is the weird thing, right? Like, it's the people who are like, yeah, like, I don't want to invest in anything too risky. But yeah, I'd be fine locking it in this. Well,
that's like the inverse of my brain. Like, smart contract risk sounds riskier in my brain than leverage, right? Whereas, because like I have full control, well, mostly full control. Not actually, I have almost no control because it's just the market movements. But I feel like the control is within my locus, right? I can just go like, okay, I'm risking this much of my account. Da da da. I know what the risk of my trade is, etc. That's within my control. If I start to expose myself to like layers of smart contract risk, I have to go, okay, which fucking company audited? Did they get a good audit?
Doesn't even matter. Like, that's the craziest thing, bro, is like, auditing is one of those things where you can have like a good auditor, like a really competent
and still get exploited, paid, yeah,
right, and there can still be like a fuck up. Mm-hmm. Like, it's truly one of those weird coin flip things where you can also just have like a total retard audit you, and yeah, nobody will ever find a problem with it. And, right?
Or you just have a fucking genius, not even a fuck up, just a fucking really smart guy who's like, oh, this is actually nothing. There's nothing actually wrong here. But if I do XYZ, now I'm using this against itself. Yeah. And da da da.
Or Vitalik Buterin has installed a backdoor in the EVM.
Yeah.
Right. And he's just going to take everyone's money in 3 days.
And just fucking
and
run.
There's nothing we can do about it, right?
Like, I don't know. Fashioned rug pull. Come on. We'll have to see it.
Yeah. I mean, there's really like an unlimited amount of really silly ways. Or, I mean, you don't even have to get like hacked, right? Like, you can have like a dipshit founder who like stored their seed in like a Telegram wallet or something.
There's so many
bizarre ways to get
exactly
fucked.
There's so many ways. And that's why I hate those like, the only thing I would ever like stake is when it's built into the protocol, like an Ethereum or a Solana. Whereas like I never feel comfortable with those ohms, like those ohm type of things. I don't feel comfortable with like, that's just nothing. I've seen too many things happen. You'll never catch me doing that like convoluted smart contract APR.
Bro, there's a reason that I'm running my own Ethereum node right now. And it's because like, it's only like 4% or 5% or some shit. And like, I could get like 10 or 15% if I locked it in EtherFi. I actually do have some in EtherFi.
Listen,
they're giving me points. They're giving me
points?
Extra APR.
Hey, listen,
and they're giving me fucking Eigenlayer points too. But I have
still
most of my shit.
We need to bring someone who knows about Eigenlayer, because I'm going to fucking kill myself if I don't like, sorry.
Neither of us are capable of understanding Eigenlayer, right?
It's like, first of all, you know who you're talking to? Of course I can. I just don't care enough at the moment to try.
That's the same as not being capable of understanding. Like, that's what I'm saying, man. Like, I will never. I went to their website and I was like, I see the vibe that you guys are laying down. I understand that you're probably very smart. I'm not going to fucking read any of this. Fuck you, dude.
Like,
you
have,
I'm on the homepage of your fucking website and you have seven integral signs, right?
Like, oh,
get
hell yeah.
Fucked, dude.
Here's
fuck
the thing,
off.
Though. I've never invested into something I've read. So that's the other
same
thing.
Also.
I only invest in things that I'm going pure vibes on. If I've read enough about it, it's either A, my brain goes, this is a scam, or my brain goes, this is so fucking, they're fucking praying to God every day this doesn't get exploited. So
here's the thing with Eigenlayer, though, is there are very few times in my life when the people who are very good at making money around me and the people who are like tech autist guys ever agree on anything. Eigenlayer is one of those weird opportunities where the money people love it and the autists love it, which makes me assume that it is very good. Now, is being very good going to mean anything in terms of making me money? I don't fucking know. I don't fucking know. And I honestly, like, I was pretty bullish on it. And then they got that $100 million check from A16Z.
Oh,
and
that's pretty good.
Well, everyone was like, yeah, that's awesome. $100 million. I'm sure they're going to airdrop that to us. And it's like,
oh, no, they're not. No,
no, no. A16, like fucking Hawks, dude.
Yeah.
So, like, probably what happened is you're going to get a lot less tokens and it's going to be a lot later than you think.
Oh, yeah. My plan is to exploit other people's brains at Ethereum Denver and see if I could have someone talk to me about Eigenlayer. That's one of my soft goals for this conference.
Well, what are you hoping to learn about Eigenlayer?
Just whatever. I don't know what it is. I'll just start with that.
It doesn't matter what it is, but it's a thing. The only way that you can like get points for it really is by like staking Ethereum in some way, right?
Oh, okay.
And I personally think
I'm not staking 32 Ethereum, so
yeah, that's the thing. I personally think that given how autistic the team is, it makes sense that they would go out and they would give better rewards to people who did solo staking.
Yeah, right. Because
they're like, oh, like we want to reward the people increasing the decentralization of the network.
True.
Which is hilarious.
So it has nothing to do with me then.
Yeah.
I'm not doing all that.
So it's like you can get, but it like that's the arena that I least want to compete with people on for airdrops is like, do you have a bunch of money that you're willing to lock in this vault for like eight months?
No,
because it's I see the amount of money people are fucking shooting in there. And it's like, I'm not competing with the guy dropping a $50 million check in. I'm not going to get that many points compared to this guy, bro.
Yeah,
like
true.
He's simply like volumetrically mogging me.
Yeah, I'm not built that way. I'm built undifferent.
I'm built exactly the same. I'm built to fucking shill referral links as like a poor homeless
Speaking
guy.
Speaking of, I'm putting my grass
corner.
Link in the description.
We have to become like turbo ref link shills. That's the only way we're going to make it.
Sure.
I'm not going to trade my way to victory. But what I need to do is I need to put referral links in so many places that all of your guys' like 2% referral fees are able to make up for like whatever money I lose through just being a huge retard.
I will say though, guys, for grass, you should help us out because I don't have the million referrals you need to get like to the higher tiers. I'm in a decent tier. I'm in like tier 6 or something, which is fine. But everyone I know is like, I got fucking 8 million points. Like, eat a dick. I'm sorry. I'm in the fucking scrubland of 200,000 or something like that.
I realized I like fucked up on Blast doing that too. Like I should have. I gave nobody my referral link.
Yeah,
and then there
the
are
referrals
people who put
the
like
way.
They put like $1,000 into Blast and they have like the amount of points that you would have gotten if you had like 8 million sitting in there the whole time. Just because
I'm so
they
like
referred everybody.
The thing is, like, I feel like so grimy when I do a referral link to anything. But that's like, what's the point of having followers if you don't use a referral link?
Oh,
people
yeah.
want to get in.
I feel absolutely disgusted. The way that I have started doing it is I think I'm just going to have like a fucking link tree. And if, you know, there are those people who are like curious enough about what I'm doing that they'll come and
they'll
like personally ask me about stuff. And it's like, I enjoy when they ask it, when it's not, Lucas, I need you to give me financial advice that I can act upon and hold you account. Like, that's not what I like. But if you're asking like what I'm doing, it's like, yeah, fuck off. I'll talk about that.
The best DMs of my life today. My man's was like, yo, Verz, what's your grass referral link? And I was like, that's the kind of DMs I need. I need you guys to put more of this effort in. Hit me up in the For DMs. Real. Ask me my referral link. I got a referral link to everything. I got
you know, what's really insane also is like if you're out there, you're a dev, you're a founder. If you ever go and you make a referral program that doesn't refer both the referee and the referrer equally as much, you're like extremely retarded. Right. Because like I just don't know how people don't think about this. But like if you refer the person who uses their referral code or you give them more of a reward. then they're just going to do an infinite chain of self-referrals.
Yeah.
There's no other strategy that makes any sense. That is 100% of the time what I'm going to do as a user and what every other user who has enough capital to be thinking about this thing is going to do, right? So, yeah. Like, you have to just split the fees between the two. Like, it's not even complicated. You're already giving them, just divide it straight down the middle and say, okay, if you use a referral link, you get a benefit also. Right, it's not just the person who referred you.
That's why I used to like the exchange referral links. They used to give you trading fee cuts if you use someone's referral.
Oxfam does that actually.
Yeah, that was like the best thing ever.
9% referral fee on both sides. It's insane.
No, not just that. No, like the fees are good, but like, was it?
I just put my link in my bio, and I have like a couple $100, and it's like
nice.
That's not like, but it's like there's like 100 users on the exchange. So it's like, what the fuck?
That's, yeah, that's sick.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll take your referral link. I don't have one. No, I don't have an Oxfam account.
It's easy.
Well, I'm sure it is. I just haven't done it.
Well, I mean, this is the thing. Is like,
Oxfam
requires you to collateralize in Ox for now. That's going to be changing.
No, that's the part quickly. The part that I have to do like, a million activities a day. I'm not going to do that. I already know that ahead of time. That's why I haven't actually gotten it. I already know myself. I'm not going to sit here and
They're also knocking down the APR, which is like, I'm glad that I sat and I did this stupid thing and I farmed the like giga APRs from like, you know, my buddy's own thing. But it's not something that like I would have necessarily taken a bet on if I was like an outside party.
Yeah.
Because like the idea of holding this token that's mostly been like down, and hoping that the APR is going to offset that would be like, I don't know, like that's a bit of a risk.
That's a high, you know? that's a high risk.
That's exactly like people don't really like the thing that you have to do of, you can get 8,000,000% APR. All you have to do is hold this extremely deflationary farming token, right?
Yeah.
Like we've run this one into the ground. People have a lot of PTSD when they even like think about that.
I've done this too many times myself. Yeah, that sounds like 2021, all my Arbitrum fucking and my food farms. And I had like 25 million APR noodle coin. Yeah, fucking noodles. It was noodles. I was fucking LPing. I had so many fucking noodles and then it went to zero in 35 seconds. Or like hot dog. Remember hot dog?
No,
I
remember
the first
like truly retard farm Ponzi that I got in on was, it was like Boss Swap or something on fucking, what was the DeFi Kingdoms network? The one that just like exploded?
Harmony
on Harmony Chain. Yeah. So I bridged to Harmony Chain and I locked my stuff in to some farm that had like, you know, it had so many zeros at the end of the number. It was like, oh my God, like I'm going to become. And I did become a millionaire for the first 2 days. Like I actually, it was like, wow, holy shit, it's free money. What I didn't realize is that I had locked my funds there for a week.
Yeah.
And there's a reason that there was a very high APR on that, right?
That was the same with hot dog. So hot dog was the same thing. And the coin went to like 165,000 per hot dog, right? I remember they were shilling on Twitter when it was like $400. Like people were like fat money, but you had to lock it, right? So everyone's hot dog was locked. The APR was like a billion. Everyone had like, oh man, I have like, you know, whatever, right? And then the second the coins got unlocked, it went from 165,000 to like less than a penny. In like, I've never seen anything other than Luna, I've never seen anything go to zero that fast.
That's fucking
funny.
And
I just watched it.
Yeah,
just,
I mean, like, what I've figured out basically about those things is, like, by the time you hear about it on the timeline from people,
it's already over.
If you haven't already been farming it for, like, 2 weeks, you're about to be, like, turbo fucked. You should probably just, like, not touch it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a financial advisor.
I feel bad for the people who bought in, like, at $100,000 a fucking... I mean, they obviously didn't have a full one, but, like... You know, I've seen people with like, you know, in the shitcoin telegrams, just like, you know, loading
up. The worst people, like the people who get the most fucked from this are the ones who like they come in, they're new and they do one of these. They get in early. They make like 10,000,000,000% APR and it works out for them on like a smallish bag.
And then they
have extremely high conviction that that's just how it goes. They don't realize that they were just super fucking early and lucky. Mm-hmm. And then
they lose it all.
They actually like light their entire bag on fire because the next time they enter with like 80% of their net worth and it just goes to zero, right? You know, it's like it was Time Wonderland or whatever.
I remember that.
That Wonderland. Shit, oh my God. It was like, this was notorious for literally giving out like 18,000, like 36,000% APR super regularly. It ran up substantially higher than most of the other ones did. And yeah, I mean, it at some point it experienced sell pressure, right?
The pressure gets to everybody under pressure, you know?
Yeah. And eventually you realize that all of these things are basically just like, financial obfuscation methods. You know, it's not like, they're not like legitimate wealth generation techniques. They're techniques used to prevent the average person from realizing what the actual market dynamics underlying what you're doing are. Because if they realized it, they would not invest. You know, like Olympus was an amazing example of this.
One I knew was a scam the second I saw it.
I'm not even going to bother explaining it to anyone who's listening. If you don't know what the Olympus DAO thing was, I strongly recommend you to just like go watch a YouTube explainer video on it and watch like a... And it's like now everybody looks at it and they're like, well, obviously it never would have worked. But like, there's going to be something like this in this next cycle. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be super obviously retarded. And nobody's going to realize
everyone's going to be in it.
And like, this is I'm not even saying this in I'm so high and mighty. I sat there. People said, Lucas, you don't understand this like Olympus shit. And I was like, no.
Three, 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 three.
Yeah. And I was like, I think I understand it, bro. But like, It's built in leverage. Like if people are buying the token, then it brings the token up more with a liquidity pool. And if they're selling it, then it just magnifies the price impact down. Like it's just inbuilt. And they were like, no, dude, like you don't understand. It's like a financial vehicle of trust.
If everyone just holds at the same time.
Yeah, they developed like an entire like matrix like meme.
Yeah, fucking game theory matrix.
Yeah. To explain how like you're just supposed to never sell ever, right?
Which is
like,
crazy because it's from the prisoner's dilemma. The whole point is, it's like one person fucks it up, it's over.
Yeah.
But
and it's like you're in crypto, dude. Like these people are not your friends. These are sharks. These guys are bastards. They're going to dump on you, man.
You're gonna fucking you're gonna be left holding the bag for real. I loved when I saw the 3-3. I was like, it's over, dude. No way they're fucking doing Nash equilibrium.
Well, no, so I said all this. I posted about it being shit. I said like, this doesn't make any sense. You guys are all retards. And I still fucking bought. Like I was still holding. Like I was in fucking Wonderland for like weeks, bro.
Oh man.
Cause I was like, my thought basically was like, I know that like the underlying market dynamics of this are completely retarded,
but it
appears to just not matter because there are so many fucking people buying that it's like, we're in a new paradigm, bro. Like, I guess we've transcended the laws of financial reality and it's just going to go up forever, regardless of the fact it's like totally like a scam.
New paradigm, bro.
That's kind of true in the bull market. Like when shit really gets going, like it doesn't matter if something is a Ponzi scam. It doesn't matter if the founder is pulling out 50% of the liquidity and using it to buy prostitutes and cocaine. Like you still can make money on that. I'm not going to suggest that you try to make money on it, but it's like, I'm not going to say you can't.
Yeah, you definitely still can. However, you just have to understand what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah, you have to understand that you're basically walking on like a 60-mile long glass bridge.
Yes.
And there's like 75-mile-per-hour torrential winds. And, you know, when you get to the middle of that bridge, like it's really shaking up and down in the wind, man.
You might want to get off the bridge, you know?
You might want to get off.
Yeah, no, that's I suggest no team spirit. Anything that requires team spirit, I suggest
anyone who like tries to GM wag me like team, like they're giving you Stockholm syndrome. And they succeed, like your life is over, right? They've turned you into a zombie and it's just over for you. Like
there's a reason why we used to call them community members. We call them bag holders now, but we used to pejoratively call everyone community members if you're stuck holding the bag at the end. Because, you know, like, oh, well, I'm just going to be part of the community. We're going to build. We're going to come back next
If you want to be part of the community, deadass, go hang out in their Discord server and never fucking buy the token.
Yeah.
Like, if you genuinely like the community, never buy the token.
Yep. I hear.
It's just like, oh God, it's rough. And like, I went back and I re-downloaded my Discord now because I have to do the fucking Discord rounds now that we're back in bull market mode.
Yeah.
And I looked at old servers that I have from old projects. There are like still people that I know just who like lost it all along, 3 years ago. Like actual Stockholm syndrome victims sitting in there doing like free Discord moderation work for these. Like their shit is so blown out, man.
Bro, Zcash is coming back, dog. You just don't understand.
It's insane.
It's coming back, dude. You don't know.
They're still in. They'll be in. The token price can literally be down negative 99.98% from where it was when I remembered. And like they will be still going at it.
Listen,
they will
bro.
Be talking about how they think that the developers are cooking. Big things are in the works.
Bro, listen, Digibyte is 50 times faster than Bitcoin. You don't understand. That's the first community I got stuck holding. Digibyte. Really? That was the first shitcoin I ever bought. This is before Ethereum really went off. So this was its own. It wasn't even L1. It was just its own coin, right? This is back in that era. That's how fucking old I am.
Before L1s.
Before L1s were even a thing. So this is actually no counterparty existed, but it doesn't matter. So Digibyte, I remember I was on that show. I was like, oh, Bitcoin's good, but Digibyte 50 times faster than Bitcoin. I'm fucking sold, dude. This shit is, it's going to go to the moon. I already looked at the chart. It mooned one time. We're coming back. We're going to come back. I got my fucking lines and I just held that absolute to zero.
Do you remember like the 2017 cycle where everything was just trying to be a better version of Ethereum? It was literally every single thing that was released was just trying to be a better version of Ethereum. And every single pitch deck for the ICOs, because they were called ICOs back then, because we didn't know about seed
security law. We didn't know about security laws.
You just went into a Discord server and you sucked some guy's dick for like 3 days. And he said, yeah, I'll give you tokens in exchange for $500. And then they just went up because every coin that was released went up, because it wasn't like now where you have decentralized exchanges and just any random guy can release a coin. It was like, if you have a coin that gets put onto an exchange, people just buy it.
You know what's crazy? The two ICOs I actually could have been a part of, or the two that actually did not go to zero. I was offered Polygon, which is Polygon now, right?
Yeah.
This is like right after the fucking, because it launched in the, I think they were trying to launch it earlier, but like it didn't launch until like 2018. So it was a bear market. So Polygon was like one of the last ones. And I had the opportunity to get into Tezos with all the crypto people and I didn't do it. And those actually ended up being something, kind of. Tezos has its own like, whole NFTs on it. That was like pretty big. People still use that shit. Polygon's obviously big. And I fumbled both of those bags, in fairness. It's okay though.
I got in a very large number of ICOs actually in 2017. By just going around and being like just a Discord pest, dude. Just a disgusting Discord weasel guy. And it's actually unimaginable how, like, if I had more starting capital in 2017, the amount of money that I could have run up just being like some Discord guy was because like I got in on the it was fucking Ryblox. It's Nano now, I think.
Oh yeah, Nano.
They
yeah,
rebranded. Yeah, and Nano like that guy, one
yeah.
like turbo
that went off,
ultra
yeah, that went
giga
crazy.
Mood. Yeah,
I am Nano.
Now,
mooned
now, most of my money was in BitGrail, the exchange that just rugged everybody, right?
RIP.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that was because that was the only fucking exchange you could trade Ryblox on. And this was the other thing. Like, we talk about all this, it was so much easier, but like, it was also like, you would just randomly get shot in the head and
the exchange would just disappear.
Just nothing you could do. Now, like, I could reasonably suggest somebody who's like smart and like competent, conscious of like what they're doing with their passwords and stuff to like, yeah, you can probably use cryptocurrency without like getting turbo fucked, right?
Well, you know, it was really honestly until Binance showed up, which is crazy to say.
Remembering Binance as being like the new player on the block.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And until Binance showed up, you would go on an exchange and just go, there's about a 45% chance this exchange doesn't exist at some point very soon.
Yeah, right? Like there's a reason that the like don't keep your money on the exchanges things was like so ingrained.
Yes. And that's like, why people fucked up with FTX, because it we had forgotten like that era was over where exchanges would just disappear. Yeah,
we didn't have like a turbo blow up in so long, right? Like it was like Binance has been around for a while. This shit's probably like secure or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. And then after Binance, and then, you know, we had most of the exchanges that have come out since Binance are still around, right? We're like, okay, we're in an era where things are cool. And then, you know, then we learned
it's never totally cool. It's never totally,
The last time I got blown up was OneFox. Remember OneFox, where you could use crypto to trade stocks and Forex and stuff?
No.
Oh, that was the best fucking site ever. I'm so mad that it got taken down because of SEC shit. I was trading fucking... I had one of the best plays, by the way. I was betting on the fucking decline of South Africa. Because that's when...
Polymarket is fucking kick-ass for that.
Yeah, now we have that.
Polymarket, it's like kind of a crypto thing. It's not really necessarily a crypto thing. But it's literally like they have betting markets for everything. So it's like if you want to bet that like the peso will be below a certain price in Argentina at like this date, like there's a betting market for it.
Yeah, so we were doing it via Bitcoin, and I made some money off of Venezuela hyperinflating. That was sick. And I was like, all right, what's the next one? OneFox is clearly going to be here. And I bought a bunch of fucking effectively the shorting on the South African ZAR or whatever it's called. And South Africa did end up blowing up. It just took like several years and the exchange disappeared.
Time frame was wrong. Time the directionality was correct.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I don't
timing
know.
Timing matters.
I just got done recording a podcast earlier today with Sue and Kyle and Wasi Lawyer about like crypto bankruptcy, basically.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, you know, bankruptcy in TradFi is like a pretty established thing. You know, like it's a normal process. Everybody gets it. But like there are some things that are always held as like a substantive rule. And one of them is like, if you're a liquidator of a bankrupt estate, you kind of want to sell your assets as quickly as possible. It's like a weird double-edged thing, because it's like if you hold on to more, you can get more legal fees. But like in terms of actually getting what's best for the people, which like you're supposed to pretend to care about as a liquidator, they don't really do it that well. But you're supposed to sell the assets soon, because it can be assumed that they're probably like not going to hold their value forever, right?
Yeah.
But crypto is like the one thing in the world, the one industry where like every 4 years, everything just magically goes up like 50x and you have a chance to recoup everything, right?
Yeah, that's how it happened with Mt. Gox. So when they finally started handing out the Bitcoin that they recovered.
Yeah. And it's the same thing with the FTX estate, right? So FTX went bankrupt. Now everybody has their money back. Now, the thing is, they have their dollarized money back. And that's the big fuck up, because if you're in crypto, you're probably in crypto because you're not hugely bullish on the US dollar.
Yeah.
And you would prefer to be holding something else, right? So if you get the same amount of dollars, but it's effectively like 0.2% of like whatever asset you were denominating in at the time, you're not going to be like super happy, right?
Yes, but because the dollarized value at the time of FTX going down was in the bear market, and now everything's up.
Exactly. Like, so it's 100%. Like some guy, and it gets really fucked up too, because like you almost need to make people opt in at account creation, because when you're doing the bankruptcy stuff, you know, like if some guy has
that at account creation. Why would they not? They really should.
But it's like, it's not something that like people can even intuitively understand. Like, do you want to denominate in like your actual held assets, or do you want to denominate in the US dollar? But like, I mean, you'll get really big arguments back and forth between creditors about this, right? Because if you have a creditor who basically bought like the most worthless shitcoin at the absolute pico top, right? He's obviously going to be arguing that
he
should be reimbursed for his dollarized value.
Uh-huh.
And he doesn't want the tokens back because they're worth zero now. They're worth nothing. So, and it's like, how do liquidators decide like who to like give which side to in an argument like that, right? And the answer is usually just like corruption.
Yeah, corruption, yeah.
Yeah.
And I do like the idea of opting in, though. Yeah. I feel like that would solve a lot of, I mean, it fucks a lot of people over because they're going to pick the wrong choice, but yeah, it at least creates like a logic, a consistency, I mean, to it.
It's like, it's one of those things that should be pretty easy for you to figure out yourself.
Yeah.
In terms of like, how do I mentally denominate my money? Because like I count it in Bitcoin, and no, I'm going to fucking, that's wrong. I mentally denominate in Bitcoin puppets. If I'm not gaining money versus the Bitcoin puppet NFT set, then it's like I fucked up. That's like unironically how my brain works now. If I'm not gaining money versus Bitcoin puppets, I've fucked up my investments. Everything else that isn't a Bitcoin puppet should be capitulated into Bitcoin puppets until it starts returning as much as they do.
I respect that.
Not financial advice. Holy shit, absolutely.
I respect that, but, though.
But like, you know, everybody in crypto has to gradually get into this mentality over time. It wasn't something that I did at first. I dollarized everything my first cycle. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, I tracked my wallet and I looked at it and I said, like, if I had just held Bitcoin,
yeah,
I would have enormously more money right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time you go through and you start like looking at that, and it's like maybe you still play around with your alts a fair bit, but you're like, now you're starting to be like, okay. I tracked this and it wasn't a great idea. Like I didn't make a ton of money on this. And Bitcoin's looking pretty good right now, bro.
Yeah.
Like maybe I should have just fucking went with the big coin, the boomer coin, the orange coin. And that's how you wind up being me, a boomer, right? Where I'm like afraid to put more than 0.1% of my net worth in anything that isn't either Bitcoin or Ethereum.
Listen, we got to give them that boomer wisdom over here at the Virgin Lucas podcast. We have a variety of information we can provide. Many of those being, you know, boomer wisdom as well as schizophrenic ideation. We actually need to, I just remembered our intern told us that we need to tell people, y'all, you need to
we need to like do some share. Soul, like subscribe.
What we really need to do is record a little like segment.
We've said this like 87 times.
I know, we're never going to do it.
I think it's never going to happen. It's simply never going to happen.
So everyone listen, like, share, give us ratings. Okay. You guys have actually been really good about the ratings. So I appreciate the organic rating.
The 5-star shit on Spotify is epic.
And Apple, big one too.
Yeah.
That shit is fucking massive. On YouTube, please like, share, subscribe.
I don't know if it does anything algorithmically, but I showed it to my mom over the holidays and she was like, holy shit, your weird gay internet freak podcast has 50 people who care. That's insane. Yeah.
No,
wow, they must like be retarded.
Honestly, when I show people the podcast in real life and then they're like, oh, you have like 75 5-star reviews. I'm like, yeah, bro, that we're out here. And you know, that actually does matter to people for some weird reason.
That's super funny.
So yeah, the 5-star reviews, honestly, yeah, might
we should do a fuck sibling airdrops, bro. We should be sibling Spotify reviews.
Hell yeah, dude. And then, because actually, listen, with enough of those reviews, we can get, you know, Spotify money or whatever. We're not monetized on that. We're not Spotify. But
Like at this point, it's like I don't see the podcast as a vehicle for like generating any amount of money on its own. It purely is just like, I've met a lot of interesting people and gotten interesting opportunities as a result. Actually, something really funny, an interesting opportunity
thing,
I was
though.
Given recently. One of the podcasts, I shouldn't even say this, actually. This is a horrible fucking idea.
No, don't say it then. But wait.
Okay.
No, this is.
No, I'm actually not going to say this.
You want. This would make my life. I'm still fighting for the water filter fucking sponsorship. And we're not going to get our fun sponsors because I look at this as a way to get free merch from companies that I like. And I have yet to get any of that. So until we get fucking new water filters, until I get, you know, a fucking Crunchyroll sponsorship and they give me like free Japanese anime shit, until then, we got to keep chilling. That's all I'm saying. You know?
What I'm trying to think of, like, what the thing that I would want most now is like a free sponsored product is. And it's like, I actually don't know.
You don't know
like
until
maybe
it's offered.
Maybe it would be like a fucking like a crate filled with 20 terabyte hard drives.
Oh, that'd be kind of sick, actually.
That would be
I would love
sick,
that.
Actually.
Yeah. We could definitely get computer part. Bro, Alienware actually does a lot of sponsorships.
But I'm not going to get Alienware shit.
No, you can. Like, I know.
No. I'm saying like. Just
oh, not for
like,
you. Like, yeah. I'm just saying like.
Yeah. Like, think
as
about,
an
like,
example.
Me, like,
I want to get like.
I want a fucking like. just like disgusting server rack, right?
Yeah.
I don't want alien. I don't want injection molded. I want cold hard steel.
You know, I used to have an Alienware. I'm such a nerd. I used to have I was such a fucking dork for that. No, I want. Yeah, we could get fucking computer parts. There's all kinds of fun nerdy shit. Maybe get a. You know, there's nerdy shit that we can get sponsored by that aren't.
I told you I set up my home server, right?
Yeah, you did. So we're gonna go back to video eventually.
Yeah, it's epic now. Actually, I didn't realize having a networked storage thing. Holy shit, man! My life is so much better. I didn't realize how annoying it was having to carry around like flash drives and external SSDs and all this other weird shit.
Yeah, I hate the external SSD. The more
just
I
the ability to like give people access to like files, because it's like, what the fuck do you do if you want to send somebody a 19 gigabyte?
Wait,
file?
Bro, why are we still using Google then? Switch all of our shit to your network thing.
So, I can. Mm-hmm. I have to figure out a little bit more about the privacy settings because I have it in the same folder as the GoPro videos.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't want to see those.
Yeah.
You can leave those. You can leave those. We can make little fucking partitions or something.
Yeah, it's a basic file management thing, but it's like it is weird because I'm not like – I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I'm not a tech guy. I don't know how to like do server shit. So it's like I'm air quoting as I say this, because who fucking knows if I'm SSHing into my server to install and manipulate files via a command line interface.
Uh-huh. Little CD, like, little fucking, I got you, little tilde. I feel that.
Yeah. And it's just like,
I'm glad that Google has the file management stuff down, because my foot pics are in the drive. So yeah. I'm keeping it kosher.
I learned the dumbest. I burned straight up like 6 hours the other day doing the dumbest thing in my entire life.
What'd you do?
I had this external drive that was hooked up to the computer, and I was trying to do stuff with files and like move them around, share them, read, write, etc. And I could not fucking figure out how to give write permission to this folder. And I was going through like asking the Edge AI or whatever it is, Copilot, whatever, calling everybody, trying all this weird shit, looking up every single Linux manual about this specific thing. And in the end, it was that the file system used by the SSD, XFAT, just can't handle permissions. Like, it just doesn't do permissions.
That's weird.
So I had to basically just like take all the files off and then reform it to like something that does.
Oh yeah, it is. I do know this. This is how to deal with this with my fucking with one of my hard drives.
Why would anybody ever use this file system? What the fuck?
Yeah, I think that's like when it's just like for like read. I mean, read only. I don't know. It's just like fuck archives. We usually like fill it all up and just like, this is here to read. Read only archives.
Like, I guess, but it's like you can have read and write that, like,
yeah,
like, well, NTFS like, is no. Just like, it's NTFS is just like a better file system. Like, there's no like, reason
the old school shit where
some
like,
guy's gonna comment on this. And
yeah,
like, well,
there's
actually,
like, it's like old
here's,
school.
There's like
legacy
a specific
shit.
Case of like data management in which XFAT is superior.
It's legacy shit when they didn't have like whatever. Yeah, it's when they didn't have like good like memory stuff, and there's like, all right, this is just unwritable. Storage. It's like an old legacy thing. Anyway, we probably should call it though, only because it's getting late. I'm tired.
Yeah, absolutely. I was gonna say, and for those of you guys still here, can you tell that we're like fucked up?
We're recording really late. I've had a few wines. I was at a birthday party. My brain's running slow.
I feel like my eyes are getting sealed shut with like
We never record this late. This is the latest we've ever recorded. We usually record in the afternoon or like evening.
Yeah, what fucking time is it?
Like 1:30 a.m.
Yeah, it's straight up like 1:30 in the morning, which is like, I guess it's not the latest, but it's like it's pretty late to be like talking energetically, I guess.
Yeah.
Right? Like people say like, oh, like don't lift before bed. You'll stay up for an hour. And it's like, you're not supposed to have like podcasts before bed because that'll keep you up, bro. It's not going to be like, you're going to activate your central nervous system a lot more
fucking activated right
than
now.
You are fucking exercising.
I got to turn off all the lights, put the red lights on, get the fucking salt lamp going, humming, listen to an audiobook.
Salt
otherwise,
lamp,
it's GG's.
Himalayan pink. Is that
my little? Yeah. my Himalayan pig ionized. We're ionizing the air.
I like fucked up too much and I started using it as like a salt lick.
Yeah, you can actually lick it, which I find gross, but
you can. But the only issue is that like you'll smooth it out enough over time. And if you invite someone over, they'll fucking notice that there's like a smooth spot on your salt lamp and they'll know what happened, right? They'll be like, you were licking on that shit. And it's like, it's not like if they get it, but like if they don't, there's no real can explain your way out of that hole, man. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, my cat did it. Yeah, I don't think your fucking cat licked the salt lamp, bro.
Fucking shaved on that whole side there, dude. I know what's up.
Yeah.
Can't hide it from me. All right. Well, anyway, like, share, subscribe. Sharing is big. Sharing is caring. We need more listeners. Okay. I know that you're embarrassed of us. I understand. However,
I'm embarrassed of us too. Trust me, God.
I know you're embarrassed. I'm also embarrassed. But listen, share it. People like it. I've shown it to real people in real life who are not from the internet, and they actually find us very amusing. So don't worry.
We're saying this after we just did like an entire recording session of us just like talking
being
about
nerdy
like,
bullshit. Yeah.
Well, like crypto brain damage.
Yeah,
like the various ways and like, yeah, like, I don't know. That was a pretty pure crypto episode. But it's like, I feel like we've got to figure out how to like fucking get the crypto shit into a normal person's audience, because like the hilarity that goes on in crypto, like you can hate it and you can hate crypto people, but it's like the shit is truly hilarious.
Yes, it is.
Like
very
there's
funny.
There's no other market in the world where you're going to find people locking $200 million into a made up staking profile because they think that it's going to give them like a whitelist to buy monkey pictures. Like it's not going to happen.
Exactly. Listen, I'm sure we're expanding their minds. You know,
dude,
let's
fucking explain Blast. Okay, before last thing that we're gonna do. So there are these things called chains,
right,
where people can like move things around. You can send assets to each other. Ethereum is an example of a chain, right? There's a difference between an L1 and L2. It doesn't fucking matter. Blast is an L2 built on Ethereum. It doesn't exist. Okay, it doesn't. There's no product. What happened was a guy who previously has made one product said, "I'm going to make this product." Okay. I don't have it now. You should send me money to this wallet, and in like a month ish, I might have the product.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you might be wondering, what are you going to get in exchange for sending me this money? I'm going to give you raffle tickets for every $2,000 that you send to my wallet. I will give you one raffle ticket for a week. And what does that raffle ticket win you? It wins you points. What do these points do? I don't know.
When you say it this way,
I don't have to tell you. And it's actually illegal if I do because of securities law. But you'll get some points, right? And do you know how much money this guy raised with that strategy? He made $1.6 billion. Yeah. He has a wallet with $1.6 billion sitting in it because I'm not better. I have money in there. I have a lot of money in the fucking wallet that I'm spinning for points because I literally think that it's going to make money. But like,
no,
it's
when
so
you say
stupid.
It that way, it is actually absolutely retarded. It's the dumbest
like,
thing.
If I told my parents that all of the money that I sent to Blast is gone forever, they would be like, yeah, of course, you fucking retard. Like, this is unbelievable. How the fuck did we raise something like this? Like, you're our son and you're doing this. This is embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm theoretically a grown ass adult man. And I just did that. Like, I sent double digit Ethereum to the Blast wallet to spin for points.
You keep it spinning, bro. But hey, the actual mainnet is coming out before the end of this month, on the 28th, I think. I just saw.
I mean, so they've told.
Allegedly.
No, yeah, that's the thing. I am an advisor for Insert. They've actually been building on Blast, so it looks like they do have a chain, right? And there, you want to talk about fucking fun Ponzi's, bro? That shit is itself. Like, so, you know, like you go on eBay and you can like bid for things, right? But Insert's thing basically is that, let's say you have something that you want to sell for like $100, they'll basically let you sell instead like 50 $2 raffle tickets, and one of them wins, right? Which is like, for crypto people, this is like fucking
crap.
It's people want to buy lottery tickets, right? But it's like you're allowing people to not only buy lottery tickets for the lottery, but like, for like a Rolex or like some like like a reasonably priced thing, you know? Like the reason that I don't invest in the lottery is not because I don't think it would be epic to win $1 billion, but it's like at some point the odds are just too shitty, right?
Yeah.
But if it's like if I can pay $2
and the odds are like 1 in 200,
right, and I have a 2% chance to win, it's like I'm probably gonna try, man. I'm probably gonna try. Like
2% is a very reasonable amount of percentage.
Yeah. Like if I see somebody's like listing like a some watch that I can like flex on the internet or something, go and you know, I'll wear the watch and I'll post a picture of it and I'll get 20,000 Twitter followers because they think I'm rich now. It's like
simple as.
I don't know, dude. I'm gonna spend $5 on the Hood Rich raffle ticket, man.
Hell yeah, dude.
I'll get some fucking spinning hubs for my Mazda 3 wheels, man.
I need that girlfriend raffle. Well, that's for another
raffle.
The girlfriend raffle ticket, or that might be prostitution. Is it considered prostitution? Wait, is it considered prostitution if it's a raffle?
We're not at the point where Bitcoin is high enough that people start making the jokes about wife changing money, right?
True.
That's usually the part at which you should consider allocating into fiat currencies.
Yeah. You know what I just realized? There's a very large chance that I have not been talking via my microphone. I don't know. We'll find out.
I think you have, because when you've been doing your weird, you've been like scratching your nose and shit, and it would get real quiet. And then you were really yo-yoing the fuck out of our listeners. Actually, it was sort of funny. There was a period there where you kept like you'd move it and then you'd itch and then you'd move it and then you'd itch. And I was
my mustache is in like the pokey phase. It's pissing me off.
Yeah, you got to just go straight to the like fur mode.
Yeah, I got
to the bear, like the Arctic grizzly mode.
Yeah, it's annoying as fuck.
Yo, so is Crypto Capo, and again, for those of you who don't know, there's this guy on crypto Twitter who's like notorious for just being like the worst trader of all time. He somehow has like 800,000 followers and like tons of people take his advice, but like literally he's been calling for $12,000 Bitcoin for the last like 6 months, as it's gone from like $17,000 to like $57,000. It hit 58 today. And so it's like,
oh, hey, he's
somehow actually like missed out on like straight up a 3.5x
just
on Bitcoin, alone, right? And like when it hit like 52, he tweeted out like a market update saying like, I'm expecting a rejection back to the $50,000 level to confirm my bearish thesis. And nah, everybody was like, wow, like it's so based that you're not getting shaken out by. And it's like, dude, what the fuck?
There's always someone fucking bear posting the whole way up. That's a classic.
I've been refreshing his account all the time, because like the instant that he capitulates, like it's when over. He finally. I think we're going to instantly just go down 50%. I don't know. Because like I'm going to have to take some money off the fucking table when it's obvious enough that dude figures out, man. Because like there's no levels left even. Like what level is he waiting for?
Yeah,
like it's like there are no levels left. And like the all-time high isn't even like a level. It's like it was like a weird transient period where Bitcoin was for like 0.2 seconds, right?
Yeah.
It's like a wick of a wick of a wick. So
yeah, no level there.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, man. I the counter signal is it's crucial to every market cycle.
Oh, and this is another thing that like this goes back to what I was saying before about how if I give you a list of accounts and you don't understand like why they're good, because like some of the accounts that I follow, I don't follow them because their advice is good. I follow them because their advice is so consistently bad that I can like form worldviews and like financial positions based off of just not doing what they do, right?
Yes.
Or like if I see them ever posting about a coin or like entering it, it's like, yeah, it's like I it's too late. I shouldn't even think about that one. It's going straight down from here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you gotta
I am that. When I post about fucking buying something, it's like you would do damn well to consider doing the opposite, actually. I've been like right for the last like month a lot, but it's not because I'm good at it. It's because everything went so up that like even when you buy at the exact top, it still will be higher. Like
everyone's a genius in the bear market, you know? So I have these fucking hiccups, and I cannot be on the mic hiccuping. Okay, everyone's gonna be like, "Fucking verse! I swear to God, I don't want to hear your fucking."
I'm gonna tell you, man, they're gonna be way more fucking pissed off about the nose scratching mic yo-yo shit than they will about the.
Oh really? I don't think they can hear that. Can they hear that?
Oh dude, it's very. It was very noticeable.
Well, it doesn't happen when it says 2 a.m.
It doesn't matter, man. It's not any worse than like me yelling into my mic, scratchy voice, being like sick, like. I have I guess it's not even because I'm yelling. It's because I threw up and I have acid burns in my throat and I'm trying to.
Oof.
Yeah. Anyway, we're for real. We're going
for
guys.
For real. My peace out, hurts. Guys. Catch y'all
later.
Love
you. Later.
When he gets older, he won't sound like this anymore, right?